Welcome to the Superintend Podcast. I'm Idaho Superintendent of Public Instruction, Debbie Critchfield. Our podcast is a way to highlight important issues in education, success stories in our state, and talk about the work we do at the Idaho Department of Education. Each episode is about 10 minutes long, so we call it the Superintend. Today, we welcome Athan Sanchez. Mr. Sanchez is a second grade dual language immersion teacher in the Boise School District. He's been an educator for 15 years. Mr. Sanchez is an Idaho native and holds degrees from Boise State and the University of Idaho. I had the pleasure of meeting him during a recent school visit, and once I learned about him and his passion for his work, I immediately asked him to join me on the podcast. Mr. Sanchez, welcome to the Superintend.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Let's talk about dual language in elementary school. This is not a new thing to Idaho, but we hear more about it, I think, in the last couple of years. We hear parents that are interested in their kids being a part of it. What do you hear from your school community at Whitney around teaching elementary kids another language?
There's a positive vibe from it, from all parents, from all aspects. It just seems to be the trend. A lot of districts in Idaho are accepting it. My parents, I mean, there's a constant, always asking our secretary about spaces that are open in our school to be enrolled. So, there's a positive vibe from the community. It just seems to be growing. We used to have like an issue of finding students, but now they're just coming. It just seems to be the trend right now.
So clearly, as the instructor educator in the class, you see the benefit of that, and you see other academic benefits. Talk to us a little bit about not just the obvious one, which is you acquire another skill in a language. What else do you observe from your students?
I've been doing this for 15 years, and one of my things that I've seen my students, based on my experience, they say that usually the students lack until third grade, and their test scores kind of catch up with their monolingual peers. What I've seen in my experience, my students have scored just as high, if not higher, than their monolingual students. So it's amazing. I wrote a research paper on it as well, but that's just what I've found more so through my experience. And they're learning in half the time versus their monolingual students as well.
Explain that to me a little bit. What does that mean, learning in half the time?
So what I do is I have a teaching partner who also teaches English, or she focuses on English and I focus on Spanish. And we share two classes, usually about 20 kids, and we have it broken down to content to really, really dig in to that language learning. So my partner focuses on language arts. That's non-negotiable for both languages. So I have Spanish language arts, she has English language arts. And so we broke it down to content-based, which alternates every other grade level through our school. Which we're kind of really starting out. Second grade's focus is Spanish side is math and Spanish language arts, and my partner focuses on English language arts and social studies and science.
Okay.
And so what we do is we start out our day, and I'll explain to you how, because it gets complicated how it works, but it's really not for the students. So I start out with class A, she starts with class B, we both do our schedules pretty similar in the sense of we start out with language arts, then we switch to our content more so that we're assigned. So we'll start with language arts, and then we'll do math, and then she'll do social studies and science while I'm doing math. Then we flip-flop midday, and I teach Spanish language arts to the other class, class B,
okay.
And she does class A.
Okay.
The whole idea of this is to really, really get the students exposed to language every day. English, they're around English all day. If you break down a day, that's probably less than 10% that they're really focused on our target language, which is, in our case at Whitney, we teach Spanish as our target language, which is our second language that we're going after. And so they really need to have really, really thoughtful instruction. And I'm in Spanish all day as much as I can. And you'd be amazed. You saw firsthand these students. I speak nothing but Spanish to them. At the beginning, it's one of those things transitioning like everything else. But eventually it's all Spanish, and then they know for sure that they know that our classroom or my classroom is all Spanish.
During those times, mm-hmm. this is the language that they're going to hear. It's the language that you're teaching them to be able to communicate in. And you're right, in the visit, I was so impressed. 8 years old, second grade, 8, 9-ish age, and the students were responding to questions and a part of the conversation. Okay, so here's the thought that I've had on this. Homework. How does that work when you send assignments home in Spanish for parents who don't already know that language?
So here's that's kind of the idea that we've really, you know, we've always talked about. But really, second grade, our homework is reading 20 minutes each day in either language. I sometimes send Spanish reading materials because those are hard to come by for both parents. But I mean, if you really think about it, that's what our ML students face every day, right?
ML.
Help which us are with the multilingual learners.
Thank you. Okay. Education is so yeah. loaded with acronyms.
And, you know, that's the dilemma that a lot of parents are faced with, right? And so, you know, we have it simple in the sense of just reading in either language. Because I was talking before our podcast to Scott, and I was telling him that what we're trying to do is make those connections to get those students really to get to their academic achievement, right? Well, there's three goals for bilingual education. Bilingualism, biliteracy, right? So you want to be competent in both languages and through literacy. Then you want to do your academic achievement. And then finally, the social cultural competence, right? Accepting cultures. And so, you know, that's one of the goals is academic achievement. And so we really build on both languages to get there.
So I'm thinking of how my own understanding of the English language and grammar was strengthened when I studied Spanish myself. It was interesting how I had some kind of light bulb moments in junior high and high school taking Spanish, which I did through college. And anyway, I remembered thinking on, you know, some of the rules and some of these things. I was like, oh, that's what that means. So I recognize that there's an added benefit of understanding your own language at a deeper level when you're learning a different language.
Yes, no, I agree. That's a lot of what we do. A lot of linguistic connections, right? Both languages are kind of derived from the Latin roots, and so they have a lot of commonalities. And we study that every day, like whether we're focusing on specific reading skills, where we're looking at prefixes or all that grammar. I mean, we write it down, and they're like, oh, this, they make the connection in English. Like,
right.
ED is ito, you know? So it's just stuff, you know? Just making those connections, you know, that they're learning the same thing, just different languages, but they kind of mesh.
So tell me about clearly the ultimate goal is to get them conversational, you know, if fluency is, you know, a great thing, but to be conversational and be able to understand. That's not happening by the end of the eighth grade if you're taking someone who hasn't had exposure to a different language, you know, previously. What happens in third grade, fourth grade? What are you doing at Whitney to build upon that? So it's not just a one-year experience.
So more so, we're all really being intentional with speaking the target language and getting them to speak. Usually it's K to two, it's really hard for them to get that conversational. And not that the kids can't do it. A lot of it is the confidence. And then you also got to remember they've only had language instruction for maybe 2 or 3 years for, you know, 180 days if we take a school year and half the time. So let's 90 days, really, if you really think about it.
And they're likely not going home where that language is spoken either. So
yes.
that limits that exposure.
Well, and that's the thing, too. That's what we really focus on in our classrooms, to be in that target language, because, like I said, you break down the day, it's probably less than 10% they're hearing that target language, which is in our case Spanish, and they're hearing English all around. I have a lot of kids that still want to respond and will respond in Spanish. And so I'm just building on what they have. And it's just like what we've noticed with everything in education, every student's different. And same thing with language learning. So we're trying to build on what they know, making those connections between both languages to get them to strengthen that language that we're trying to get them to learn, I guess.
As you pointed out, Whitney has chosen Spanish as their second language. Mm-hmm. But we see statewide, even in different schools in the same district, they may have chosen a different language. Students can have exposure. Parents can make decisions for kids, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Spanish. It can be a variety of languages. And so as someone who was very serious and focused on this aspect of being an educator, give me your elevator sales speech on why this is good for kids.
Oh, first off, when I have my own children, they'll be in the program regardless wherever I'm at the time. I think it's a great way to learn the language. And those kids, their brains are like sponges. They're soaking it up versus if they were to be in a language program, more a modern language program where they're just kind of repeating things. This really immerses them in the language where that's where we learn, right? As a baby, we're immersed in the language. You know, we hear cookie, you know, me want cookie, I want, it develops. And it's the same thing with dual language. They're hearing that, they're learning that, the same process. These their brains are way more, they're ready for this more so.
What about to an educator who's maybe considering adding this as part of their classroom experience? What advice would you have for someone who's thinking about that?
My advice would be is it's hard. It's hard, but be patient. Be patient, trust the process, and the kids will overcome. You know, it's like I said, it's challenging for parents because they don't know how to help. And I think that's just how it is sometimes. That's how we learn, just constant practice and just persevering through everything. So that's my advice. I think, you know, learning another language is a no-brainer for our global society today. So it's going to benefit not only you as your family, but I think as our society, our country. I think, you know, that's what we need.
Mr. Sanchez, we can feel the excitement of what you do and how dedicated you are to helping students. And I just want to thank you for that. I think you've got lucky students that get to come to your class and experience learning in just a full way. And so we appreciate you taking time out of your school day and school break to come sit down with us and share some exciting things that are happening in our classrooms here in Idaho.
Thank you.
Once again, our guest on this episode of the podcast has been Nathan Sanchez, a second grade dual language immersion teacher in the Boise School District. The Superintend podcast is produced by the Idaho Department of Education. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. They can also be streamed on YouTube and the department's website, sde.idaho.gov. I'm Superintendent Debbie Critchfield. Thank you for listening.